Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. JUDYGOLD.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now. I'm JUDYGOLD, your host, and today is an exceptional, wonderful, incredible episode. I have been dying, and like it's been going on for years where, I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do your podcast. I'm going to do it. Well, James is away. No, I can't. Well, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, The dynamic duo, Seth Rudetsky.
Wow.
And James Wesley. Now, this is the Jew bell. So anytime anything remotely Jewish is mentioned, bell goes off.
Okay, well, we have a dog, so it's going to be really fun. She's
right.
Going to start barking.
Right. Oh, you injured your baby.
I'm not going to mention anything you-know-what-ish.
And the bell, by the way, is situated right between Judy and Seth, not me, I noticed.
Right.
So, well, you can
right, you're not Jewish.
But, well, apparently, supposedly, I am. My grandmother told me a couple of years before she died. Yes.
What she said?
That her mother's mother was Jewish.
So your grandmother's mother.
So my mother's 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 mother was Jewish.
So that means you're a Jew.
Right. Now, who knows if it's true?
Yeah, we don't know if she was hallucinating or not, but she did say it.
She did say it.
Well, who's going to say that if it's not true?
That's what I kind of think.
Right, yeah, so that's
the good thing. It's not like we're the most beloved people in the world.
No, dear.
It is true that Judy has been asking us to do this for it feels like forever.
I know, I'm sorry. It's just that you have ADD like I do. It's hard to schedule things.
I can't take the ADD. Do you take anything for the ADD?
You know, I've tried it, and the ADD makes me... I hear that. That's James's anger that I don't do it.
Right.
My problem is my ADD... I'm so impatient because it's like you have to wait 5 weeks and maybe you'll feel different. I'm like, nope, if I don't feel it that day, I'm not taking it.
Right. Here's the thing.
What?
I did write the book and I had to take Ritalin.
Wait, you read the book or you wrote the book?
Writing the book, I had to take Ritalin.
Oh, because there's a new book coming out.
Yeah. So it was like constant, you know, like I had to focus. I had to do a lot of reading and a lot of like, I have to write this chapter. I have to write it and write, you know, So it did help.
Right.
But I also drank 95 cups of coffee a day. Do you do that?
I drink 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I think Ritalin, I did try it once and it helped me. I think it may give me a splitting headache. Does it give you a headache?
Oh, that's interesting.
I got nervous that I got a splitting headache from it.
You know what happened? I would like crash at like, you know, 5 o'clock. I'd be like, and then crash at 5 o'clock.
Listen, I don't know if I really, James really thinks I need medicine. James, why do you think I need ADD meds? Because what, how does the ADD, see, I more have the
see,
flare.
I wish Elisa was here because she is constantly with the, you don't understand what it's like to live with someone with, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Well, by the way, James also has ADD.
You
but
do?
It's a lower level.
I have a lower level. But it drives
me. Did you get it? Did you get it?
Diagnosed?
Diagnosed.
I did. I did buy a psychiatrist like about 8 or 9 years ago. I take Ritalin on occasion.
I take the extended release.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I know what, Seth, you're talking about regarding the headaches because that was an issue.
I think the main reason why I need ADD is because I just get angry really quickly. It dissipates 5 seconds later, but anything irritates me. I know.
Oh, my God, same.
I was going to say, I know you can't identify Judy. No, that's
no,
the thing.
It's bad. It's so bad. Yeah. And like when I you answered right away. When I'm at the gym and I'm done and I have to stretch, it's fucking torture.
Oh, my God.
Torture.
I hate stretching. Wait, that's so funny.
I know.
I get yelled at every single time by my trainer. Like,
I
what
know,
do
but
you
it's
do?
Like I can't. Like it's these so people boring. That sit around... And are like, no, I can't. I gotta do
patience.
Something.
Right. Yeah, I don't have the patience. That's why I would take medicine to help me stretch. Really, because like, that's
right.
Why my
well,
body.
Well, good. That's a good
That's
reason.
Interesting. But that, and the anger is like, you know, getting on a subway if someone's in front of me. Like,
oh my God. It's just like, get the fuck out of my way.
I know.
You know what I can't, these are kill me now moments, by the way, but you know what fucking pisses me? I can't, when you're walking down the street and someone is walking in front of you looking at their phone, like, going extra slow or going up the stairs in the subway,
oh, that's the worst.
Looking at, and I'm just like, move. I literally say move.
But don't you do that too?
No.
You don't walk and look at your phone?
No, I cannot.
Oh, Seth does.
I won't.
I think I sort of do. I'm like, oh, just for this 1 minute and then 6 spots go by.
No, I can't do it.
So I'm the
And I angrily wait for him at the top of the
no.
stairs.
No, and you
subway.
Know what else I do?
Oh, that's a new information for Seth.
Why is this about my ADD? Let's focus on something.
All right, here's the other thing I do, and then we'll start with, you know, whatever. But this is the other thing I do. If someone's walking down towards me down the street looking at their phone, mm-hmm. I stop and go like that. And
oh, you
I just
wave your hands
frantically. Wave,
oh, that's a good idea.
Or I stop and I'm like.
Wait, just anybody.
It doesn't matter who it is. If because, you're about to bump into me
right.
because you're fucking looking at your phone. Go fuck yourself.
Well, remind me for Kill Me Now moment. James knows what I'm going to bring up. So anyway, we'll talk about it later because I have my own thing I'm going to bring up. But I'm going to save it for Kill Me Now.
All right. So Seth.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about you and growing up. And is that on purpose?
No, like, you know, I actually wrote.
I mean, you did the Rhapsody and Seth.
Yeah, I wrote a whole entire show.
by the way, if you don't know Seth, I don't even know how to describe. Writer. Composer.
No, not composer. Musician.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, a little bit.
All right, a little
bit.
But
not a real composer.
Musician.
Musician, yes.
Comedy
writer, musician, actor, radio host, and
producer.
As Laz Minnelli
producer.
Activist. Christine Petty loves saying Laz Minnelli.
Activist.
Activist.
And then, James, what would you call yourself? Seth's husband? I'm just kidding.
Yes.
You're a producer.
And
you're an actor.
Producer, actor, writer.
Yeah.
And actually, activist. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, the only thing not a musician is a singer, just not as a piano player.
Right.
But we're kind of the
Mandy's
same thing.
Mandy's joining us.
Mandy, by the way.
Mandy the bell.
Can I ask, is Mandy like this with everyone?
She has no boundaries, so I guess yes.
Oh, she's I want her to be special, Mandy.
But she's my, well, not, she usually calms down, so she must love
it's,
you extra.
It's well, and the bell. Apparently, okay.
Hey, Mandy, I gotta have the. Oh God,
and
here goes everything on the floor. All right. So you grew up in Woodmere, Long Island.
North Woodmere.
What does that mean?
Hey, what's the distinction?
You know
distinction
what? It's just another town. Woodmere's a different town. It's North Woodmere. We don't have our own mailbox. It's such a boring story. But anyway, my sixth grade teacher was a big anti-Semite, was always saying North Woodmere doesn't really exist. It's really Valley Stream. And we'd always have a big fight. And then he said, Jews, I told him that Nazi guards would throw babies in the air and shoot them. And he was like, no, they didn't. It was Mr. Harper, Mr. William Harper. I still remember him.
Wayne
hated him
Harper?
So much. William Harper. And he's recently, I found him on Facebook, crazy, crazy anti-Hillary. He's a horrible person.
Really?
This is sixth grade
teacher? My sixth
grade
teacher, yeah. I don't know how I came
Wait,
up with the
and
Holocaust.
Your mother didn't go in? And
Are you
say,
kidding me? No, she. Well, my mother talks the talk.
Oh, no, not my mother.
My mother's
my
like,
mother
I'm going to tell
walk.
Him It's a lot of what she's going to tell him, and then like something comes up, and then 6 years pass.
Right. Okay. So you're what number in your family?
Number four.
Of five?
No. Four. I'm the baby. I'm still treated like the baby, even though right. I'm 31. I mean, it's crazy. I'm the baby of the family.
I'm the baby too. And my brother and sister treat me like I'm like... Yeah. Retarded.
My sister literally bought me a bath mat. She's like, I know you never buy yourself a bath mat. I was like, wait, what? I've like lived in an apartment for years. Right. It always to this day treat
your
me like
sister,
I'm
your sister Nancy?
Nancy did it, yeah.
Nancy, Jew.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's really Jewy.
Yes. No,
and
she's...
your mother's really Jewy.
Yes.
What about your other sister?
Beth, I mean, you know, they're all their version of Baal Teshuva, as we say, right. Which means like, you know, newly Orthodox, but they've got their own version of it. You right. know, it reminds me of, do you remember that hilarious, who's that gay comic, part of Funny Gay Males, the Jewish one? Jaffe Cohen. He always said that his mother evolved Jewish-wise, and after a while, her version of fasting on Yom Kippur was having a tuna melt without the cheese, which I thought was so hilarious, and I so identified. Because it was a sacrifice.
That's so funny.
It's a great joke.
Okay, so
yeah.
Your parents were married for how long?
My parents were married for 23 years. They got divorced when I was, they told me at 9 they were going to get divorced, but they quote unquote were waiting for my bar mitzvah. Ding. So at 13, they finally got divorced after 23
years. You're 9, they're like, we're getting divorced, yeah. but we're going to wait.
Yeah, so I had to live with them for 4 years.
And they hated each other?
Oh, it was horrific. Yeah, they completely hated each other. But I guess as a favor to me, they stayed together for 4 years.
Oh my God.
It was horrific. But you know what? I always say, and I always believe this, you can only deal with your own family. Like James tells me about his childhood, and I'm like, 100% on no level could I have ever dealt with that. So every headache thing that happened to me, I could deal with, but I'm sure I couldn't have dealt with anyone else's childhood.
That's amazing. So just FYI.
It's true. I just
think, if you walked by your house, everyone would be like, oh, those are the Rodetskys, and they're so great, and they're, would that be?
I don't know if they say we're so great, but they go, oh, they're all musicians, they all play. Like at my bar mitzvah reception was in my house, and then we all entertained, and Beth.
Oh my God, that's so the fucking Sound of Music.
Yeah, so Beth sang What I Did for Love. I think I sang Back Away. It was like, Kiss Today, Goodbye, and Point Me Towards Tomorrow, and I was like, Let's Go Far Away. That was my backup part. So yeah, we all performed together. So I think they all knew that we all sang and played instruments and stuff, definitely.
And who do you get the music from?
Both parents. My father was an amazing harmonica player, actually. Like, super, both of them have no training, but super, super talented.
Right.
Father, amazing harmonica player. My mother, great musician, great actress. Her uncle was a famous comedy writer, and Beth just found this picture of him. Yuki Shirin was his name, a picture of him and Lucille Ball together.
Wow.
Lucille Ball is not Jewish, I'm
I know,
there.
But
Yuki
that
was.
That fucking name is so
but
Jewish.
But where was it? Like in the Catskills or something, no?
Oh, USO show. You know, I don't even know. He just did comedy writing everywhere. So he was like a big famous comedy person. So anyway, I got it from both sides.
Now, when you were 9 and your parents told you they're getting divorced, were you upset?
Bye. I was like, get out. Because they were fighting all the time. I was like, Mike, please, God, get divorced. I hated that they were together. All they ever did was fight.
Did they stay in the same room for the 4 years?
Yes.
That's fucking stupid.
It was just nonstop
that
fighting.
That is ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if my mom really wanted the divorce. And I, in a sense, I think my dad, James always says it. It's like, I think my parents really did love each other. And it's that whole pre-therapy where no one knew how to get along.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I think they really did love each other. And they were, quote, unquote, trying to work it out. But it was just nonstop screaming.
But, you know, I know with my parents, it was like... There was such gender role playing, you know, like he works, my mother worked too, but it was like she does that. But my father actually wasn't like a guy's guy. I mean, he was born in 1916, but he played the violin.
Oh.
And he loved the opera.
But that's kind of also very Jewishy.
Right. And he loved his gardening. And, you know, it's not like he always wore a button down shirt. I never saw him in a t-shirt or a tank top or, you know, it was.
Oh, I did. My father was always
a gentleman.
My father was always passed out. He didn't drink, but always would fall asleep on the couch with an iceberg lettuce next to him because he would actually eat just big things of iceberg lettuce. And I remember they were fighting about money. I don't know why. He would like hold an iceberg lettuce in his hand and take a bite out of it.
Like an apple?
Yeah. And then it was a lot of screaming like, we don't have money because of the lettuce. I remember that being screamed out to my father.
We don't have money because of the lettuce.
I didn't even know what was.
That's fucking hilarious.
So I would see him in t-shirts like whatever. There was not gender role stuff. My mother had like a super great job. There wasn't gender
stuff. Two master's degrees.
Yeah.
I mean. Wow.
Yeah, my mother was very highly educated. And so was, and my dad was too. So anyway, there wasn't that gender stuff. I think.
Yeah, my mother had like an associate's degree.
In what? English?
No, she was a secretarial. I don't know. She went to
whatever. Her brother was killed, and then she
stopped. That's part of your amazing
right. And so it play. Was right when she was going to go to college, and she ended up staying.
Well, people in those days didn't really go to college. Right. It was
but
like
my aunt did. My aunt and my grandmother went to college.
Wow.
Really?
She was born in 1896, and my grandfather was an engineer and an architect, and my father was an accountant, a CPA, and a lawyer.
Oh, I come from like a long line of no education.
Oh, no, education.
Wow.
All
that's
over.
Incredible.
Yeah, really smart. Like one of my mother's uncles cured pellagra. And
it's cured helped. So much I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, all these people in the South were dying.
Wow.
And it was, and they thought it was contagious. And he went down and made himself a guinea pig. And he got the, and it turns out it was all malnutrition. And
wow. So, like rickets, those kind of things.
Yeah. So pellagra was the disease, and he cured. But his stuff also helped to cure malaria. Like his findings were very.
Wow.
And so anyway, he worked for the U.S. government, and he died young. And the wife, not Jewish, the wife petitioned Congress because she was his assistant. For a pension or something. And that's how they got that was the first pension.
A groundbreaking case.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm such fun. The wife wasn't Jewish. It was Vera Shanda. Anyway. Now and you were
yes.
gay growing up. Like
I knew I was gay.
Right. But were you and you were tortured?
You know, please. We're watching that TV show Cheer, which is amazing, and I think people were a lot more tortured than I. Of course, to me, I was tortured. But looking back, I was never beaten up. I was just made fun of. I was called gay all the time, and I always say this, like, you know, we were Judy, you too. Like, you're called Jewish, but your parents tell you being Jewish is amazing. So
right.
Yeah, you're kind of made fun of, but it's like. By the way, I wasn't really in my neighborhood. Everyone was Jewish. But I knew that people didn't like Jews, but I didn't care because it was amazing to be
right.
Jewish. But when you're called gay, you're like, oh my God, it is the worst thing in the world, everyone says, and I am it. So like, if someone goes, you're a fag, I couldn't go, no, I'm not, because I was. So it's
right.
like, I'm something they're calling me and it's the worst thing. So I probably felt worse about it. It wasn't like I was tortured by them, but I think I felt really bad about it because everyone said being gay was so bad and I knew
right.
I was gay.
Well, no, like I knew. When did you know, James?
I would say probably age 5.
Yeah. I think I was like 3 and I was like, there's something different about me. And I didn't know what it was. You don't know what it is.
Right.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, I had to, you know, I'd get a friend. I'd be like, I have to see her every minute of every day. Right. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it was, and I never wanted to do the shit that they did. I just wanted to mow the lawn.
And I was like,
I'm going to shovel outside, or I'm going to, yeah, I just wanted to hang out with my I really had no, I had no dolls. I had cars and tracks and
wow.
like, yeah, I just no desire. And I made it, I'm not telling you what I made everyone call me because that's going to be the end of my life with you.
Butch?
Ringo.
Wait.
Ringo.
As in Ringo Starr?
Yes, Ringo or Robert. Though I was like, you have to call me.
Wait, Robert, that's pushing it. Because Ringo is sort of gender neutral.
Right, Ringo's gender.
Robert's is on the nose.
One of my
name.
Cousin. One of my cousins still calls me Robert. I want to fucking kill
Wait,
her.
That is so funny.
I know.
How old were you when you said, by the way, call me Robert?
Oh, like 6. I had, and I was like, I'm cutting my hair off. I mean, it was just so, you know, that's why this whole, I have mixed feelings about trans kids because I really wanted to be a boy. And I used to go home. I was a latchkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go home and I'd go through my father's clothes and put on suits mm-hmm. and stuff and walk around mm-hmm. the house in a tie or whatever. And like, I really, you know, but I want to be, I'm happy being
right.
a woman.
Right.
But don't you, so you're saying, are some of these kids going through a transition like
right,
you did?
Right, where you're acting out.
Right.
You're like, oh, you don't quite get it.
Mm-hmm.
You identify this way.
Right.
But did you feel you were a boy? I think that's the
no,
difference.
That's the difference. I never was like, where's my cock?
Right.
Right.
You know, I was like.
By the way, we're going to beat that out, right?
No. Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And It keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lova, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Were you popular?
No, dear. No. I did have friends. I didn't know what popularity was until I went in 8th grade to summer camp, musical theater summer right. camp, USDAN. And I was just surrounded, but not really a Jew camp. There were Jews
there. Go to camp.
Yeah, but this was an arts camp. It was definitely much, much fewer Jews right. than in my high school. But I was surrounded by other kids like me that love musical theater. And like during our music, we were doing Jacques Brel's Alive and Well and Living in Paris, totally inappropriate. And our music director was like, you kids are too young to learn the harmony. And I was like, what? So I gathered all the kids during lunch and I would teach the harmony. So that was the kind of, first of all, it was boundary breaking as usual. Right. But also like, I had friends, and the end of the summer, the last day, everyone's saying, you've got a friend, and we were sobbing. Like, first time.
The drama.
But I also get it because I was like, I'd never been surrounded by kids I wasn't afraid of. It was like the first time I wasn't afraid of everybody. But I was not really popular in school. Like a little tiny group of theater kids, we were all smarty pants, and then I had to avoid everybody else and shut down emotionally walking down the hall. I tried to just be invisible all the time.
Right. I did that. It was really hard because I got called Bigfoot and Sasquatch, like literally every day. Like I couldn't even walk into class late. It would be like
because there'd be eyes on you
screaming.
Where are the teachers? I'm still wondering where the teachers are.
It's unbelievable. And I tried out for the basketball team in 7th grade, and the coach told me I was too tall for the team. It wouldn't be fair to the other players.
Oh, wait, that is hilarious.
I started playing clarinet when I was 9, and then
to be popular, girl.
No,
I don't know who told you that.
Music, oh, okay. And then I auditioned for the play. Like I wanted to be on stage and they were like, you know, you can be the head of the mission and Guys and Dolls.
That's a really funny part.
Sarah Arvide were, yeah. It was only because I was fucking gigantic. I was 6 feet tall. And then I couldn't get in any other plays.
It wasn't really a lesbian thing. It was a tall thing.
It was tall. Yeah. I mean, it was, and I was gigantic. I mean, look at me. I'm gigantic. But like in the 70s,
yeah, right.
You know, I was taller than my teachers. I was taller than the kids' parents. I was 6 feet at 13. It was like ridiculous.
Wow.
And I would see myself in the band uniform. Like someone would take a photo. And I'd be like, no wonder they. It was hell.
Right.
It was fucking hell. And then there was this group of Jewish kids in my neighborhood. We called them the clique. And they were so cunty, right?
Of course.
And my mother... You know, my mother was born in 1922 and my father, and they were all, my mother's like, they all hate us. Everyone hates the Judith, you don't understand. The minute you leave the room, they call. And, you know, I was like, Ma, you're paranoid, you're paranoid, you're paranoid. So she wanted me to hang around with these Jewish kids, but they were so cunty. Mm. So I didn't have a lot of Jewish friends, which really...
Yeah, James doesn't understand that, because I said I grew up being like, make sure you have a passport. Right. So when the Holocaust comes, right, you can leave the country.
Right.
Like, I grew up with that. They all
hate
us.
Yeah, like the hiding of your, you know, make sure there's some place to go. Yeah, so it, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Texas.
Ugh. So try being gay in Texas. That's what I'm saying.
And,
I thought
and was that. It, what, like, what did your parents do?
Well, it was just, I was raised by a single mom. And so my mom and
Wouldn't
I lived
you,
with my
you
grandparents.
Ever know your father?
No. Did
Fuck
not know
him.
My father.
He's a fucking asshole.
Growing up. And, but my, what's interesting is something I've been talking about actually in the last few days, that I realized that no one in my family, I was really close to my mom and her sisters and my cousins. I never heard anything said negatively about gay people.
From those
never.
People.
From any of my relatives, my grandparents. And we had, like, my mom had a first cousin who was gay, and I heard about him when I was 11 or 12. And I went and stayed with him for a week because we had talked on the phone and we really hit it off.
Right.
Surprised, now we know why. But everyone was really positive. It was all the evangelical Christians
Ugh.
Who grew up around who were the ones that I was getting
obsessed.
The negative stuff. Yeah, they
obsessed.
Were the ones obsessed. But
They're
I was fortunate
obsessed.
That no one in my family was like that. Interestingly, I didn't grow up around anyone Jewish, but my, and I think this is my reason why I've always been attracted to...
Why you married me, basically.
Yeah, well, yeah. gay Jews, is my first crush was with, like, the only Jewish kid.
Who?
And
what was
his name?
Name
was Darren Eugene Leitner.
What the fuck was he doing in that town?
Well, his parents were divorced, and so he was living with his father.
Did he have a bar mitzvah?
I think he did, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't go to it, though.
Oh, that's too bad. You would have gone.
I think we both had, like, two... We had an unrequited crush.
Is he gay now?
Unfortunately, sadly, he died of AIDS in his early 20s. Like, right...
Know,
and what's sad is, because I came out late...
How old?
Like, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. And I found out that he was sick when because we were the same... He was a year older than me, so he was 23 and I was 22. And my friend had called me and said, I really think Darren wants you to call him. And and he was with a partner at the time, and I talked to his partner, and Darren had died the night before. Because I thought, oh my gosh.
That feels good.
Yeah, it was remains one of the most devastating moments. Was because it was before cell phones, so like my friend had literally, like, because long distance was expensive, we were all poor,
right,
had
right.
sent me a letter,
oh
you know,
God.
So I got him a
know.
Letter. It
oh
was like,
God. Darren's about to die, let me
right.
send this letter.
She sent me a letter, is how I found out, and then I immediately called, and then...
People don't understand, like, I feel like that was not that long ago.
I'm obsessed, right. I literally was saying to myself, how did I make plans with anybody before cell phones?
Right.
Like, you actually just showed up. Like,
right,
like,
you had to trust people, I'll meet you at 7 here. I remember once I was up for a TV role, and they were like, and I was supposed to leave I went to the network, and then I was supposed to go on a gig in North Carolina for the weekend. And I was leaving right after I went to the network. And the agent was like, go home and sit with your bags. And if you get this, you have to start tomorrow. And if you don't,
wait for the phone call. Because
right.
You,
I sat
no
there waiting
God.
And waiting. I canceled that gig in North Carolina because I got the thing.
God.
But they never had me back. But it doesn't matter. But
right.
it was just
wait, so
like,
you lost a North Carolina gig and you didn't get the TV show?
No, I did get the TV
show.
Oh,
well, that's a good idea.
Right, right, right.
Okay,
but it was just like that.
No, you had no choice.
You had to go home.
Right, right.
And you know, and when I, you know, even when I was doing stand-up, if you were late, if you were stuck on the subway or you were in a cab and it, you know, you couldn't call the
club. You couldn't get in touch with anybody.
And so I've told the story many times on the podcast, but so at Catch a Rising Star, they hired two people to be the backups, and we would sit at the bar in case someone didn't show up, and we got 50 bucks because that's what a set.
Like the understudies.
Yeah, yeah. And the two backups were me and Chris Rock.
And you both have equal careers.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm just trying to say.
Shut up. He's so mean.
What? I'm being honest.
You have to be mean. You know, like, he just loves
brother.
Being mean.
I don't know what game
okay.
you're playing.
Now, yes. now,
yes.
So you, how old was your oldest sibling? Like, how much older than
Beth
you?
Is 10 years older. Michael was 9 years older. Nancy is 6 years older. So there's like a big, it was like the three of them and me.
Right.
And I would say, like, you know, we.
So you were a mistake.
You know what? That's what Nancy would say. But I don't think I think quite frankly, I think Nancy was. I don't think
really?
I was. Yeah, sorry, Nancy. But you know what? Even if I were, it's so funny. Like, that never bothers me. It's like, I'm glad my parents had sex. And it's right. like, so what if I was mistaken?
Right.
So yeah, it doesn't bother me. But it would be like, they would play games like tag and they would say, they'd announce to their friends, Seth is playing, but he's too young, so it doesn't count. So I would just be running around and no one would try to tag me. You know, that was them being nice to me. I'm like, but it's not nice.
Oh, my siblings were so mean to me. So fucking mean.
Oh, they were very nice to me.
Oh, no. Awful.
Well, you were the youngest. They were mean to
you? Right. They were a year apart. And then that's why. They were five and 4 years older than me.
Okay.
Plus, I was like taller than, I mean, by the time, it was awful. But they hated me. They fucking hated me.
No, my siblings were great to me. Nancy was like my mother. She used to call me her little monkey. I'd ride in her bag. I slept in her bed like for years. Like, we were almost roommates. Like, right. Yeah, I was super close to my siblings and I still am.
Oh, I love this story.
My Mandy.
Mandy. I have to look at my notes. So you grew up in a secular Jewish family.
Yes, ma'am.
And then your...
I grew up secular.
Right.
I was bar mitzvah.
So were you kosher?
No, very secular.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, did things on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, like super secular. Like, very like, we're... Christian.
Well, you said Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
I know. I was going to say Christian, so you didn't think right. it. No, we would acknowledge we're Jewish, and like I
really?
Felt very Jewish, and like I said, bar mitzvah, but like beyond 100% not observant. And then when I was 19, my brother died of a drug overdose, and the whole like the rabbi's wife, the Rebbetzin Esther Youngrice, I was in college. Yes, super Jew.
Out. Okay.
I was in college, but she really helped my family, and I think you feel very lost when someone dies, and I
right.
think she really helped with how to mourn. And because I think you just feel so out of control. And I think because she gave this sort of like, you do this, it really helped my sisters and my mom figure out how to sort of function in life.
Right.
So they became basically religious
all
while I was at
them?
Oberlin. Yeah, Beth, Nancy, and my mom.
Wow. And what about your dad?
Well, what's interesting is that he almost was sort of mocking it. And then he got remarried to Gloria. And
is
now
Gloria
it's a lot.
Jewish?
Yeah. And now it's a lot of like, you know, we were at the sisterhood last week and I was served a brisket. I'm like, oh, really? Because like when mommy was getting religious, right. it was a lot of like,
right.
I don't want to come over on your Shabbos. And now right. it's a lot of like, did you know that Netanyahu? And right. whatever. It's fine. So Nancy stayed, you know, pretty much super Jew. I mean, they basically all kind of stayed super Jew in their own way, but,
right.
like, but not annoying super Jew. And then I sort of did for a little bit and then I faded out.
I grew up Jewy Jew.
Well, you didn't grow up full bat tshuva, like shadel, but you grew up like kosher and...
Oh, my mother was...
super Jew. Yeah, but she did things Friday Jew. Nights. I mean, you would still go out on Friday
no,
nights.
No, we went
you?
To synagogue on Friday night.
So you didn't even watch TV?
No, we did. We would go... We would drive to synagogue.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So you know what I mean? And we had a sukkah. We had...
Oh, so
yeah,
you were like... You were,
my mother was very... My mother...
Pretty good.
Didn't go, you know, girls didn't go to Hebrew school. So she grew up on 94th Street and she would go and sit in the boys' Hebrew school class.
Oh, so she was the Yentl of.
And apparently
Yentl.
Everyone else in the family, because they all grew up on the Upper West Side. Everyone in the family was like, Ruth's coming, get rid of the bacon, or Ruth's coming, you know. She was like the Jew police. And then my grandmother, I don't know, she must have been like 90. And I went to visit her and she was at the Hebrew home in Connecticut. And I took her to this diner. And
first mistake, not kosher.
Oh no, she didn't care.
Oh.
We go to the diner. We sat down and she goes, I'm gonna order something. And don't tell your mother. And she ordered a BLT. And I was like, oh my God, because I hadn't even had bacon.
Oh, wow.
I remember, yeah. I went to yeshiva for my first 2 years of school.
No way.
Yeah. And I remember like, I did see a TV show on a Friday night once and I remember freaking out on Monday. I was in first grade. I was like, oh my God, what if somebody knows? Like, I mean, I definitely was, you not brainwashed, but you really get really scared to break
right?
any of those
you
rules.
Think that it's going to, wow. yeah.
You're going to
wow.
die. And
it's
then
bad.
I begged my parents to get me out of yeshiva because I actually would have stayed if not for the fact that there was no artistic, there was no music, there was
right.
nothing. And I was like, and I was a kid that loves music. And I begged them, I said, please, like, I've got to do something. And then as soon as in third grade, I went to public school and I was in the chorus and all that
right,
kind of fun
good,
stuff
good,
happened.
Good,
thank
good.
God. By the way, Smarty Pants, James skipped second grade. How about that?
You did?
Yes.
I know. Is that annoying?
I don't know what,
Wait,
what good that did
so
me later on
in
life.
Texas.
And he graduated yeah. high school at 15. Sorry, Smarty Pants.
Okay. All right. Let's go back. You're in Texas.
Yes.
surrounded by... Put your fucking phone down!
You notice when it's my turn
no,
to talk?
No, that's not true. Jonathan Groff just texted me. I have a big crush on him. Well, by the way, why is that better? It's actually even ruder.
And is he Jewish?
Yes, Jonathan
Groff. He can pass. He's not Jewish. He grew up like, you know, that whole... What's that place in Pennsylvania?
Amish country?
He kind of grew up over there, whatever. But he can pass. He can
pass. So wait, James.
Yes.
You are in Texas. Is it white trash where you are?
We don't use that expression, by the way. He was the poor family in the rich neighborhood.
Well, that was
in a rich
older
neighborhood. Yeah.
No, not when I was little. I mean, we lived with my grandparents in the house that my mom had graduated high school from, and then
was your mom smart?
My mom is smart. But she didn't get her college degree actually until her 40s,
right?
Because you know she was a single mom working.
But how many kids did she have?
Just me, and then she married my stepfather when I was 9, and so, or 8, and she had my sister.
Right.
She was pregnant at 20. Tell them about the amazing car place. That's what it's like in Texas.
Oh, yeah. When my mom, it was one of those, I mean, it's Texas, but maybe kind of everywhere, but it's like my mom was working like at the Lovefield Hertz rental car place, and she was fired because she was pregnant.
Yeah, because she looked pregnant, so they were like, you're fired.
Yeah.
Isn't it unbelievable? Like, when I was a kid, women couldn't get credit cards.
Isn't that crazy without a husband, husband's permission? I know, it is crazy how things have changed.
It's not that long ago.
It was not long ago.
No, it was not long ago.
Like, the Holocaust was not that long ago.
Right.
No, I know.
Right.
Like, I thought, when I was growing up, I thought it was so long ago.
I know. And now you look back and like, wow.
It was like less than 20 years.
Segregation wasn't. My grandma.
17 years before I was born, yeah.
My grandma Bertha went down to Florida for vacation once. And she flipped out because she saw, Bertha, but she saw the black and white water fountains and she'd never seen it.
I did a college in my 20s in Alabama and they had an old gas station and they were like, well, you know, in some of these abandoned plate you can see, and I go, I'm Jewish.
Oh my God. It's so scary. It was that long ago.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
I mean, they still think like that.
Right.
Not everybody. James always makes me say it. Then everyone in Texas, why are we going to say it?
Well,
James?
No. I mean, in Texas, there are, I mean, I liberal Texans, I think, are the best Texans.
Austin,
like the Ann Richards types.
Yes. Oh,
I mean,
great.
Come on. I mean, those are like Jim Hightower. I mean, those are the people that I grew up around.
Right.
But in public school, you'd be surrounded by, I mean, they gave out, the Christian church came around and gave little mini Bibles in public school in fifth grade.
Oh God.
You know?
Isn't that horrible?
It's like
but I just accepted it because you were surrounded by that.
Like even with these impeachment hearings where the chaplain goes up and
I know.
What did you start up with why did you get in trouble with your teacher about Christ? What was it, the teacher that was Christian?
Because we got into, you know, in American literature where it's all the early, like 1800s stuff, and I think the Scarlet Letter. And we got into a whole discussion during class about if we're born evil or born good. And I said, well, we're born good. And she was, because she was a hardcore Christian, it's like, no. And we got into a whole thing. Original sin. And she got into a whole discussion and asked me to come out into the hallway. It's like, you cannot talk to me like that in front of the others. And I was like,
what did I do?
Yeah, I said, because I disagreed with you. And I'm like 14 years old, you know. But
about to graduate high school.
I know, smarty pants. Smarty pants.
So, anyway.
So you skipped second grade.
I skipped second grade because I'd been in a Montessori school in kindergarten and first grade, and then my mom couldn't afford it anymore, so she put me in public school.
And so how many grades did you skip? You skipped two grades in high school?
I skipped second grade, and then in high school. I did high school in 3 years instead of four. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just say things were not great at home and we didn't have any money. And I just kind of wanted to go get out on my own. And
he paid for his own college. He's so not Jewish. He paid for his own college.
What?
James
had to pay for everything.
I had to pay for my books. That was my thing.
But didn't you grow up like you just know your parents are going to go to college?
You had to go to college. Like it wasn't even a.
Right.
But I went, I couldn't go where I wanted to go. I had to go to Rutgers because it was a state school.
Oh. Yeah, that's
well, I didn't go to any fancy school, but I mean, I did.
Where'd you go?
I ended up at University of Massachusetts at Boston and got my degree in political science.
Wow.
It's a smarty pants.
So,
yeah, we couldn't afford. I probably should have gone to a state school, but my mom's guilt over the divorce made her let me go.
You won out on that divorce.
With Oberlin, because Oberlin was like $20,000 a year in like the
back
early
then,
80s.
Yeah.
Wow. I was at Rutgers in 80. I started.
Where did you want to go?
I wanted to go to Emerson.
Why?
I don't know. I just had this feeling.
Isn't that weird when you're a kid? You want to go to a certain school.
Wanted to go to Emerson. It was all. And like so many comics went to Emerson.
Wow. Andrew Martin went to Emerson.
Yeah. There were so many. And they were like, no, you're going to Rutgers. It was $2,000 or $2,500 a semester.
And what was Emerson? 26.
Oh, please. Who the hell knows? And I just wanted to get the fuck out of there. Right. But anyway, I went to Rutgers. My brother went to Rutgers. Then he went to University of Michigan to get his MBA. And then my sister went to Rutgers. And my father went to Rutgers.
Oh, it's like God. The school.
Yeah, it's the whole.
I went to Oberlin because I went there as a prospective student. Well, first of all, I got an early admission. Like, I couldn't believe I got in as a piano player. I was like, I was just so shocked that they accepted me because it's really hard school musically. But I went there as a prospective student and I met a guy that I had a big crush on. So I was like, I have to go.
That was a sign?
Yeah, well, no, I was just like, I always call Oberlin a gay bar with dorms. Like, I could not believe how many gay people there were there.
Right.
To contrast my high school. So that's another reason why I went, just because it just seemed so liberal and open as opposed to my high school.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
Okay. Question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we all knew we were gay when we were born. Okay.
Right.
First experience, go.
I went to I was in Allstate Chorus.
Oh God.
Of course, I got a 6A+, by the way, on my vocals.
Right.
And if you were in that, you got to go to this summer choral program in Albany. So I went to the summer choral program for a month because you got in for free if you got into right. Allstate. And I met this boy named James.
Oh,
but not that James.
Interesting.
Had a crazy giant crush on him. He was, I guess, dating a girl or something. Anyway, the end of the story is there was a sleepover party at our friend Kathy's house on 94th and Broadway when I was, I guess, 16. And we fooled around for the first time. But the point of my story is if you watch Oz, he is one of the drag queens that's
no
in
way.
Every single scene. Yeah. And I freaked out when I saw him because he was like, had like a girlfriend and he was sort of macho. And I was like, wow, I made him gay. And now he's literally a drag queen. His character name is Fiona. But that was my first experience.
Did you like, I mean, I remember my first, like, did you like go, oh my God, this is so natural?
No, I was panicking because I didn't really know what I was doing, didn't know what he was doing. The whole thing was sort of weird. And of course I was really into it, but it was one of those things I was like, oh, this is something I'd always think about. I can't believe it's actually happening.
Right,
it just felt weird, uncomfortable.
Did you ever sleep with a woman?
No, never been interested. Well, I haven't. I wasn't
interested either, but I felt like I had to. I hated it. It was the most unnatural. I felt like I was being assaulted. Okay.
Well, of course you did. You weren't interested.
I was like, and then I had a boyfriend who...
he was Jewish, I guess.
Oh my God, so Jewy. And he
what was
lived
his name?
Philip.
No, that's not
and
so Jewish.
He was one of the RAs in our dorm, right? And he had his own room. And I would never sleep over. And everyone else who was dating, you know, because we lived in a co-ed, every other room was co-ed floors, you know? And everyone was like, why don't you ever sleep in a... I'm like, I don't feel like it. It was just like...
So you would do the act, but you wouldn't do the actual sleeping over part.
Right. You know, I lost my virginity to him, and I was like, all right, you have to take me to dinner. It was so stupid. I just thought I had to do it to prove it to myself. You take me to dinner. We went to Was it called Charlie Goodnight's or something? I don't know. That was a comedy. I don't know. It was this one place and they had, like, it's right when salad bars started.
All you can eat.
Right. And so they had shrimp in their salad bar. So I thought it was like a fancy restaurant.
Okay. It's a non-kosher
restaurant. You're going to have to take me there. And then we went to like a motel and it was like Dallas Buyers Club Motel. It was like one of those motels, you know, where it's like...
Why not his dorm?
I didn't want to. And I got like birth control. It was stupid. I got the foam.
IUD? Oh,
there was foam. It was bad.
Oh.
And then I made him wear a condom too. And then we did it. It hurt so bad. I went in the bathroom. It was bleeding.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, ugh. And I'm in a fucking shitty hotel. And then we get back in bed and Mission Impossible came on. And I was like, oh, I love Mission Impossible. He's like, you want to do it again? I'm like, no, ew, I'm in pain. And I watched Mission Impossible and he went to sleep. That was it.
It sounds like a good relationship. I don't even really know James's details. Do I?
Right, go ahead. Go, James.
Well, no. Well, I mean.
Did you ever sleep with a woman?
Never fooled around, but I would say never really.
Did you get?
In high school. No.
Okay.
So, but I would say, here's the thing. I remember my high school choir being in Austria. We had done this competition.
They hate Jews.
They hate Austria.
Well, you know what?
They're the worst.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it was 1985. My grandfather, who was like my father growing up, died and would end up dying 2 years later, a year later. But he was really upset with me. He wasn't Jewish, was really upset with me that I was going to Germany
because he fought
in World War II and his brother had died at the hands of the Nazis in France during the war. I mean, he was really upset.
Wow.
And I was excited about the travel because I'd never traveled out of the country.
Right.
But while we were there, I think that's when the news hit about Rock Hudson. And you know, I was 14 years old. So like right when you're like getting those feelings, and I knew that I was gay, even though I would later like fool around with this girl, but we didn't really do anything. But I was so affected by that emotionally, and really, I didn't have my first sexual experience until my mid-20s.
You know,
I was too terrified.
I feel like, you know, for some people, you know, because they called it the gay plague. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. I have a lot of stuff in my book about, you know, how the Reagan administration didn't talk about it.
I hate them.
But also, I listened to these press conferences where
they're
journalist about it. Is asking, and they're laughing.
Oh, yeah. They're laughing.
They're laughing. Like, what? What do you want to know? You have something to tell us? Like,
right.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it was a joke.
And there was that, oh, maybe we are. You know, maybe we are. I mean, I was a lesbian and I still thought, you know, maybe this is God's punishment. Maybe we are supposed to all die, you know?
God.
Well, you know, it's funny. Not funny, but you say that and I think, but it's like, it is true because I grew up in Texas. And so you had the combination of like hearing negative, not from my family, but negative things about gay people from the community around me. Evangelical Christians.
Right.
And then you have when we're out of the country having this amazing experience and you see the images of Rock Hudson with Doris Day and you're like, oh my gosh, that's what my life is going to be like. And I knew I always wanted to be a father.
Right.
So you have that on top of it. It's like, oh my gosh, my whole world is coming down on me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's why when I think of like Edie Windsor and Thea Speier, the fact that they got engaged in 1967,
I know.
Like that one said, I want to marry, like that. It was even a thought that you could enter entertain that it was a possibility.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Groundbreaking.
Right. And it's all right. I have a question and then I have to go back. But what do you guys think of? I mean, I know we're dealing with pronouns now. Mm-hmm. And there is a part of me that is like, we had to deal with the AIDS crisis and you're dealing with pronouns. You know? Oh.
Well, I don't know if it's called they're dealing with pronouns. Pronouns is part of the bigger thing.
Right.
That's like saying we have to deal with ACT UP protests. But, well, we were dealing with the AIDS crisis.
Right.
So pronouns is part of people being allowed. I don't understand. Listen, I don't have gender issues, but obviously it torments people. They commit suicide because of it. So I just, listen, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go the other way. Because like my trainer will go to me like, no, does it work? Like a guy can't even pat a woman on the back. I go, great. Let it swing all the way that way. And then it makes up for all the years that everyone can get raped right and left. So let's be neurotic about pronouns for a little while until people can really express themselves with their gender. So let's be over the top.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm really okay
with
it. So
you're saying it's a process and we're in this portion of the process.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, how great is that? That finally, I mean, they're finally getting what they want.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, it's just so funny because people think if you're gay that it's the same thing as being trans. And it's like, no, they're two completely, one is gender and one is sexuality.
Yeah. Right.
And there's, I mean, like, look, if someone, you know, there's so many people with one partner transitions and they stay together.
Well, even though I hate him, but isn't Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, isn't she
A lesbian.
Yeah, right.
So right. I say that in my act.
So she's.
I say, you're still attracted to whomever you were attracted. So Caitlyn Jenner's a lesbian. She just can't come out because she's a Republican. So
it's true.
But it's true.
So, right.
Yeah, so it's not about sexuality. Yeah. It's anyway. So I'm okay with the pronouns.
Lindsey Graham is so gay.
Ugh, and I just can't.
So all right. Gay. I hate him.
I hate him. Go.
So you go to college. Does everything change for you in college where you're like, oh, my God, because it did for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no more fear.
Right.
I would walk down the hall. It was always weird where people would say hello to me in the hallway. And I was like, oh, I'm not used to making eye contact in the hallway. So it was weird. But, yeah, everything changed because everything was fun. You know, I was pursuing everything I loved. Everything was music and theater. And
no one gave a shit if you were gay.
No. There was a lot of unrequited crushes and stalking people nonstop.
Right.
But nobody made fun of me for being gay. Poor James never had that experience. He didn't want to be a theater student because he didn't want to play all those annoying theater games. He thought they were annoying. So people were annoying.
Boring political science.
Yeah, so he never
but I love political science. Aren't you glad now that you started?
Yeah. I wish that I'd had those, like, I hear Seth's experiences and I'm like, oh, that would have been fun.
Right.
But, you know, I had to work my way through school. I didn't go away to school. It was just like, it was work, you know, but I knew that I needed to get a degree and I'm glad I did. And, you know,
I got to college, I was leaving for college. And I, even though it was only a half hour away from my house, my mother was like, you're living there and you can only call me once a week.
Wait, your mother said that? Oh, my mother was more like, I'm moving in with you.
I'm about to say, that's so like
the opposite
of your mom.
I thought you had the codependent.
Oh, no. She was like, you need to branch out. She said, you can be as far away as you want to be, even though you're, So they would come out for dinner some Sundays, but I literally Sunday night was that we had a phone across the hall everyone shared, and I was only allowed to call her once a week.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah. She was good that way. But the night before, I was like, I'm not going because I'm going to live in a dorm. So that means they'll be calling me Bigfoot and Sasquatch and Orca, like even where, like.
Right, even at night.
Right, when I come home. And I was so, Mr. Weinfeld, God rest his soul, who was my guidance counselor, came over to talk to me and tell me it was going to be okay. He ended up dying, getting hit by a car because he pushed his daughter out of the way, so she was in the street.
Oh my God!
Isn't that horrible?
How much later?
Like a few years later. Horrible. Anyway.
But he was right, though. You were me.
I got there, and it was like my whole. I did stand up there. Like that's how I. 1981. That's how I became a stand up, and it was amazing. And then I won this talent contest, and then I ended up doing. They did this thing, campus comedy, and it was me. I was a student, but it was Larry Amorose.
Oh, I love him.
Bill Schaft. Wow. And Adrian Tolsch, and they came, and I did a set, And Adrian was, God rest her soul, was the MC on open mic night at Catch. And she was like,
Catch Rising Star.
Yeah, Catch Rising Star. And she was like, come in on a Monday and I'll put you on. Aww. And I would go in on Mondays and stand in the back and never get on. So it was...
College changed our lives. James,
but it was
so
just
bad.
Like, they told me I was funny. Uh-huh. And Bill Sheff to this day, he's like, I still see that little 19-year-old girl, you know, and you know, you're funny. He's great. Aww. But anyway, thanks for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Seth Rudetsky. Make sure, and James Wesley. Make sure you tune in next week for part two with Seth and James. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing show. 5 stars only, please. If you have to do less, fuck you. Please come see me live the following dates. I'm so excited to perform at 54 Below on February 4th. That's tonight.
Yay.
At 7 o'clock. I'll be part of Seth and James' amazing show, Voices for the Voiceless, at Town Hall on February 6th. Mm-hmm. I'm headed to the Rhino Comedy Club on February 15th in Suffern, New York. And I'm so excited to announce a new live episode of Kill Me Now, a club coming with the Bridget Everett on February 20th in New York City.
Wow.
Like I said, you can get tickets for all this on my website. Stay up to date on all new dates. Make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. You know, like Jew Gold. And judygold.com. And I love you all. And thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long!
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.